So this is Project Engage. Again, I have nothing to disclose. The same sort of background as the last one. We know retention and care is difficult. We're below the targets that we want to do according to the HIV/AIDS, you know, strategy. This time we wanted to see if sort of a mixed method approach would be good at finding this population and engaging them back into care. So we're using snowball sampling, so like a chain referral sampling methodology to find these individuals, also with a direct recruitment strategy. So we're actually, you know, using flyers and going out and trying to find people. The reason we decided on snowball sampling as opposed to the more popular RDS response-driven sampling is the purpose of this is to test a method. We're not looking for generalizability of the sample itself so we can do some fancy analysis. We're not an NHBS or National HIV Behavioral Surveillance Survey. So in order just to test the method, we felt that snowball was a better design. Again, this is our overall LA County testing, linkage, and care framework. And Project Engage is there at re-engagement and retention and care, just like navigation was. Same population, different approaches. We're trying to see which works better, or maybe they both work. The goal is to test the effectiveness of these two techniques to identify and re-engage marginalized HIV-infected persons back into care. Again, we have two approaches, a social network approach using a chain referral sampling, a snowball, and then a direct recruitment with flyers. The language from some of this comes from these RDS samples, so you see seeds and alters, and basically a seed is a recruiter. They are not necessarily part of your target population, but they are socially connected to your target population and can help sort of start the engines of recruitment going. So we have a seed candidate, and then we have an alter candidate, and alter candidates are members of your target population directly. And the idea is you have a few seeds, you find some alters, members of your target population, and then you encourage them to become recruiters, and it snowballs, hence snowball sampling. Hence that's how the recruitment will continue. In our direct recruitment arm, we're just calling them DR alters because we are directly recruiting members of the target population specifically. We're not interested in seeds or anything like that. We're interested in finding these individuals. Once they're enrolled, then we ask if they would like to become recruiters, and the system can sort of loop back on itself. Eligibility is pretty much the same as the navigation program HIV-infected adults in LA County who follow sort of our expanded out-of-care definition that we sort of created for this project. There it is. Currently, we're still enrolling individuals in this demonstration project. We have screened a lot of seeds and enrolled a lot of seeds, if you look at it. 119 screened and 61 enrolled. The major reason why people weren't enrolled is because they weren't actually socially connected to the population that we wanted them to be. And then of the alter candidates, the members of the target population, we have screened 188 and we've only enrolled 71. And that is primarily because those individuals were not members of the target population. You wave $40 in front of someone's face, they'll tell you they're HIV infected, not in care. You go to surveillance, you check it on surveillance, and it turns out they went to the doctor last week. So not eligible. Also, we've had some people say that they're HIV infected when they're not. So our first thing to do is if we can't find them in surveillance is to recommend we go and get them tested. And usually we find people don't follow through with that if they're not actually infected. So that's a good way of screening people out too. If you look at our facility-based recruitment, when we started this program, we started it primarily at medical facilities. At our Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center, or LGBT Center, and the Oasis Clinic, which is in South Los Angeles in the city of Compton. And then we expanded enrollment to some health education risk reduction programs and some CBOs in the area, and also we added our direct recruitment strategy. A very important thing to notice with this is that we enrolled a lot of seeds at our medical clinics, and they did not produce a lot of members of the target population. So doing this intervention at a medical facility is not the place to do it. When we started expanding recruitment out, you see a more normal seed-to-alter distribution for an intervention or a program using response-driven sampling or snowball sampling, low number of seeds, high number of alters to keep going with your recruitment. If you look at the population demographics, it's a very good mix, actually, across the board. Most of the individuals were male. We did see differences in gender, primarily because we only have one transgendered seed, but we have enrolled quite a few transgendered individuals as alters. Most people identifying as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, and insurance status. The chi-square there is because, not surprisingly, our alter population, no one reported having private insurance. So that is not a surprise for us, because these are HIV-infected individuals who are not in care, and you'll see later there's a high level of homelessness, substance use going on in the population, so I'm not surprised they do not have private insurance. But split 50-50 between no insurance and publicly funded insurance at enrollment. If you look at HIV testing and care, these individuals, like the last navigation program, have been infected for about 10 years. When we asked them specifically, after they got their initial HIV diagnosis, how long did it take you to see a doctor for the first time? It was over a year for most of these people. So our thinking might be that looking at time to initially link to care might actually be an indicator of later retention in care. Number of clinics, these people are not treatment naive. They have been to many clinics in different places for their HIV care, so they do know how to navigate a system on some level. They just aren't doing it right now. And when we found them, they'd been out of care for about a year. We did a readiness to engage in care scale based on the trans-theoretical model to see people's willingness to engage in care. And we found that almost everybody was either very contemplative or ready for action. These people, once we found them, were ready to engage in care and interested in engaging in care. We did look at this based on linkage status and enrollment method, meaning whether or not the person ended up linking in care or not, and whether they were actually, how they were enrolled through the social network piece or through the direct piece. And we found no differences in any of these variables based on those two. If you look at baseline characteristics, there's a very high proportion of homelessness, people engaging in sex work, incarceration and substance use in this population, much higher than the other navigation program. The other navigation program specifically went through clinic records. These are people we're finding on the street. So this is a much more marginalized population than the one found in the navigation program. And when we asked them about their mean number of unmet needs, it was about 5. In the navigation program, it was about 3.8 or something like that. So this population self-reports a higher level of need overall. What we did in this slide is when someone says they needed something, we asked them why they weren't able to get it, and we took the universe of all of the barriers to care and we sort of put them together in this chart so we could see overall as a population what their needs were. And 41% said the reason why they couldn't get any of the services they wanted was due to individual barriers. They didn't know where to go to get them, they were using drugs, they were too sick to go. 29% said there were structural barriers. It was too confusing, they had structural problems getting in, they did told they weren't available, or they had immigration issues. And then 20% said organizational barriers, that really boils down to the clinic was rude to me, I didn't like them, I'm never going back there, but they don't know where else to go. Then like the navigation program, we looked at the top 5. They're very similar to the to what was reported in navigation, except medication support was the 5th. Most sort of needed service among this population. And across the board, individual barriers seem to be the main reason why these people weren't able to get the services that they needed, any of them. If you look at our sort of indicators and outcomes, we have enrolled almost 2/3 of these people. They have been linked to care. And of those who've been enrolled for 6 months, we have a high proportion of retained in care. It takes about a month to link these people to care. And it takes about 7 hours of staff time. The main reason is a lot of these people, they don't have identification, they need to get it, they need to go through financial screening at a particular facility, they don't know how to do that, or they don't have the necessary paperwork and we have to help them get that. So, and then, if we don't go to the clinic, there's a high probability they just won't show up unless we are there to help them sort of navigate the system. We looked at last reported viral load, the baseline viral load, and then the follow-up viral load. The sort of take-home message from that is for the individuals who are retained in care at follow-up, we are seeing higher rates of viral load suppression. So these individuals are getting into care. They seem to be taking their medication effectively enough to affect their viral load, which is a good thing. And when we did an acceptability of this program, we asked people how they felt about it, what their opinion of it was. You know, many people said they liked it, but I think the important take-home message is that 78% of the population said that they would not have ever entered medical care if it was not for the person helping them navigate the system. So some conclusions are that the sort of chain referral, direct recruitment approach can be effective at finding a sort of uniquely marginalized population. Surveillance was also, again, a very effective screening tool. Recruitment is better at non-medical centers. I would not recommend doing this at a medical facility. This is a labor-intensive population to identify. It's resource-intensive. They have a high level of need. Their needs are complex. It's really important to help them see case management and transition them into care. There were no differences based on either the recruitment method or the linkage status for any of the indicators that we had looked at, but the program did have a very high level of acceptability among enrolled clients. We do have some limited ability to effectively compare these groups due to small numbers. There is no formal intervention for this program, which is something to look at. Data collection is still ongoing, so our six-month retention rates are not done. The one thing is our chain referral sampling was very shallow. We got shallow recruitment waves, which means we found one person, they found maybe one more, and that was it. Then it petered out. So the social connectivity of this population is very questionable. We did a very small sort of key informant interviews thing for this, and we found that basically there are no groups or places where HIV-infected persons who don't go to the doctor actually congregate. There's no programs, there's no support groups, it's not something people talk about. People don't, you know, unlike response-driven sampling has been used for other populations like substance users, men who have sex with men, but they have social venues that they congregate at, and this snowball sampling can be quite effective. It's not necessarily as effective in a situation like this. The next steps are we are actively in the process of creating what we're calling a linkage and retention program for the County of Los Angeles that will incorporate best practices from both of these interventions. It's going to contain a tiered intervention strategy that was developed for navigation. It's going to have a clinic-based component as well as a street outreach component, and both components are going to have a social network piece just in case someone happens to know someone. And we will be relying on surveillance data to screen people to identify actual members of the target population where this can be most effective so we don't waste resources. In Los Angeles County, we have rolled out our medical care coordination model, which is using patient homes at our publicly funded HIV clinics. But the problem we're having is that those are clinic-based interventions. They do not go out on the street. This is their legs. These are the programs that can work within the clinic structure to go out and find people, or go out and find people and bring them back into a medical home environment so they can get the care they need. And they can also inform the medical home social worker what are their extra barriers to make sure the person doesn't fall out of care. Because all of these individuals that we've enrolled have a nice track record of going into care and dropping right back out again unless people know it. That's it.